ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Today is August 1st, 2019 and you have the ashram bubbling with devotees from Himachal, from North India. Soon Krishnashtami is going to be celebrated and then you will have Ganesh Chaturthi and then will come Dasara and birthday and Christmas. So always something or the other goes on. In fact, no weekend till the birthday of Bhagwan is free in Prashanthilam. There is some group or the other coming, and every time you speak to any of these devotees, you know how Bhagwan even now continues to touch their lives in such indelible manner. In the last few episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, I've been sharing with you lovely moments of proximity that devotees experienced with Bhagwan in the 40s and 50s. Three episodes ago, I started the conversation with Mrs. Samantaka Manibhashyam, this pious soul who was blessed to compose the Vibhuti Mantra. You heard that conversation, which was in two parts, wherein she narrated about how in those days Swami wanted the devotees to sing devotional songs. The tradition of bhajans had not yet started. Swami loved these kritis composed by Tyagaraja, composed by Kanakadasa, songs by Meera, and these were the songs that used to be sung during the prayer sessions. Slowly Bhagwan introduced bhajans by asking these devotees to sing namavalis, sing only the names of the Lord. And it was during this process that Samantaka Manibhashyam Manti one day composed a few lines in the glory of Bhagwan's Vibhuti. And you have heard the episode how Swami liked it so much. And when the Satya Sai organization formally started in late 60s, this became the mantra to be chanted at the end of every bhajan session as we partake Bhagwan's Vibhuti. And then on, she went to narrate how Bhagwan loved some of those songs, and also lovely moments she experienced of Bhagwan's omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, and how in those days they were witness to amazing facets of his power, of his wisdom, of his love. She referred to a book, Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti, written by Srimati C. Sucharita, one of her contemporaries. So there were these 6-7 families in Bangalore who first started the Akhanda Bhajan, and it was largely the relatives of one family. Mr. Seshagiri Rao was the first priest of Prashanthi Nilayam, and it is his family, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, This is the family that started Akhanda Bhajan in Prashantanilayam in Bangalore, which later on Swami brought it to Prashantanilayam. And as I was reading this book, Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti, so many beautiful instances narrated there captivated my imagination about how it was to live with Bhagwan in those days. The same divine play, the same divine sweetness, just that they had more chances to see Swami, more opportunities to be with Him physically, more ways of experiencing His omnipresence and omniscience, and more directly, physically. And that had its own charm, its own beauty. The kind of impression it left in your heart is indescribable. So today we'll go on back again to those days and relive some of those really revealing moments of being with Bhagwan. So there was this occasion when all the devotees used to prepare for Akhanda Bhajan. As I mentioned before, Swami had asked Samantakamani Bhashyamanti and many other people to compose songs which has only the names of the Lord. And they did that. And they gave it lilting tunes. And it was a practice for all these families that for 5 earlier Thursdays prior to the Akhanda Bhajan, all these singers used to assemble in one of the houses. And they would practice these new bhajans so that on the day of the Akhanda Bhajan, they can offer it to Bhagwan in the most beautiful manner, perfect manner. So one year during the 60s, the bhajans were very good and Swami liked all the renderings. In fact, during the practice sessions one Thursday, Srimati Sucharita's sister, Sunanda Ramachandran, she made a very straight but baffling statement to Mani Bhashyamanti and said, "Mani, this time, if Swami does not sit and listen to all these beautiful bhajans, we will just tie him up to the chair and make him listen." No, it was just a childish wish. It was just a sweet feeling because they have practiced so much and there are so many new compositions that have come about and they were wondering, it'll be so nice if Swami physically listens to everything. And so she just mentioned that and they just laughed it away, and it reminded them of how Mother Yashoda would tie Krishna to a pole in the Bhagavatam. But that is how these devotees felt. Swami should sit and listen to every composition that has come from our heart. And Sucharita auntie could not be there. Seshagiri Rao's daughters are Sundaramma and Sharadamma. And the daughter of Sundaramma is Sucharita, who has written the book, Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. So she could not be there because she was working at the Rishi Valley school. But she was hoping that she can come and participate in the Akhanda Bhajan. Somehow she got leave for 2 days, Thursday and Friday. So Thursday morning, Akhanda Bhajan started with all the formalities and all the members of the group were happily singing in Bhagwan's physical presence and all were so happy to listen to the new lyrics, new tunes and the joy of singing new bhajans to Swami in His physical presence. Mrs. Sucharita also was so happy, even though she could not be there for the practice sessions, but she was so happy listening. And that evening the crowd was overflowing. The Golden Jubilee Hall in Lal Bagh Gardens in Bengaluru was the venue, and it was packed to capacity. The crowd outside was swelling. So some of the elders there, they created a platform, an improvised platform, so that Swami could climb onto that dais and all the people gathered can have darshan. And Bhagwan readily agreed and went on to that platform, and the crowd just burst out ecstatically shouting, Sai Baba ki jai, Sai Baba ki jai. And bhajan from within the hall was melodious, and the devotees were in joy singing those bhajans and soaking themselves with the darshan of Bhagwan. And Swami also was very moved by the bhajans and by the devotion of people. And Sucharita aunty was outside, she was controlling the crowd. So she had the opportunity to see Swami with the crowd, how Swami was enjoying the beautiful bhajans, and also so delightfully watching these eager hearts who were relishing every Namavali being sung. There were a couple of occasions when her eyes met Bhagwan's, and those were very, very powerful moment, because so much was communicated in that one look of Bhagwan. Just like Swami was telling her, see how beautiful is this love exchange. So around 7:30 PM, Swami came down the dais, and now Swami went into the hall. He sat on the chair inside the hall where the bhajans continued to go on. Throughout the night, the bhajan was really good, and all these new compositions could be offered at his lotus feet. Friday morning, around 8 AM, Mahamangalarti was performed, bhajan prasadam distribution was done, and everyone was filled with joy, filled with bliss. And afterwards, the members of this group, as usual, assembled at Dr. Padmanabhan's residence. Swami would always spend some time with all the people who had spend time, energy, and with lot of interest organize the event. Swami would give them the chance to be with him and be blessed with his sparshan, darshan, sambhashan. So by the time this group could reach Dr. Padmanabhan's residence, Swami was already seated in the hall, and he was talking to a few devotees. So all these group of organizers, they sat in front of Bhagwan. And when Swami looked at them, suddenly Swami said, Ammailu, come on, sing some bhajans. Swami is telling, oh, all of you ladies, come, sing some bhajans. And everyone was taken aback, because just then 24 hours bhajan session had ended. And they have just come back, and Swami is telling, ha, sing some more bhajans. So Mr. Sucharita's sister, Mr. Nalini K. Murthy, she wanted to sing, but her voice had become hoarse. She said, Swami, I have lost my voice because of singing the whole night. Swami said, no problem. Swami called her near, materialized vibhuti, gave it to her, and said, go, mix it with water and drink. And when she did that, in a fraction of those few moments, her voice was back to normal. And Swami said, now, sing. And a mini bhajan session started just after the conclusion of the Akhanda Bhajan. And these group of organizers, they sang one bhajan after another, all the new Namavalis. And Swami listened to them intently, attentively, with full joy. And from Bhagwan's looks, you could make out that he was trying to tell them, are you happy? And when they sang that bhajan, which Bhagwan was enjoying sitting outside with the devotees, Swami at that point in time looked at Sucharita aunty as if to say, you remember I looked at you when this bhajan was going on and the crowd was going gaga. So this mini bhajan session was a special session for this group of devotees who had put so much effort in creating these bhajans and practicing these bhajans week after week. And as they spent their time more and more, and they saw how tirelessly Swami was just sitting there, glued to the chair, stuck to the chair, listening to their songs, that is when it struck them, oh my God, this is what we had actually prayed for. We playfully prayed, Swami, we want to tie you up to the chair and make you listen to all our new compositions. And that is what had happened unasked. Even a childish prayer, if it is from the purity of the heart and if it is with that deep love for the Lord is only waiting to make that happen. Mrs. Ratanlal, a couple of other devotees, they were unable to fathom what was happening. Because bhajans had just ended. Swami is again sitting and listening to bhajans. And why are all these people so much in emotion? Why is everyone crying like this? And looking at Mrs. Ratanlal's face, Swami said, these are not tears of anguish. These are ananda bhashpalu. These are all tears of bliss, tears of joy. I am so, so happy. All these bhajans are so good. That is how Bhagwan rewarded those little efforts by the sincere devotees of those times to build the Sai Bhajan movement. Every little prayer was so sweetly answered. And thanks to those devotees, thanks to Bhagwan's immense love, and thanks to the prayers of so many such souls, that today we have such a beautiful ocean, the ocean of Sai Bhajans. Let me play for you one bhajan which used to be sung in those times. This is a bhajan which urges us to keep chanting the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
So that was one melody from those beautiful golden years of the initial Sai Bhajan movement. So let me take you back to some more such sweet experiences. So this is something that happened in the 60s. So Sucharita auntie's cousin is Sunanda Shivamurthy. And the Shivamurthys were in Delhi for a long period in the 60s. So when Sunanda's husband got transferred to Bengaluru in 1968, they had the opportunity to enroll their older son, Sashidhar, into Balvikas Center in Jayanagar in Bengaluru. Once the Balvikas guru approached their son and said, it would be nice if your son talks in Kannada at a function in Whitefield about Bhagwan's teachings. The time was very short, just 2 days, so the parents were trying to prepare the boy for speaking in Kannada in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan. They had told him about the subject matter, they had given him a few quotations from the Bhagavad Gita. He learnt all the quotations except two lines, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhyutthanam madharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So the next morning the son comes to the mother and says that now he is able to recite this entire shloka, which he was not getting it until the previous night, because Swami came in his dream and taught him this shloka, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. And on the next day at the function in Whitefield, in Swami's presence, he spoke very well with all the quotations which he had been taught, and also the shloka from the Bhagavad Gita which Swami had himself taught him in the dream. And the function was attended by Balvika's children and a large number of devotees. It was a grand success. Swami liked his talk. Swami blessed him profusely. After 3 months, during Bhagwan's visit to Dr. Padmanabhan's house, when Swami was talking to this group, Swami suddenly called this boy and asked him, "Hey boy, who taught you? Who taught you the Bhagavad Gita shloka for the Balvikas program at Whitefield?" And then Sashidhar told Swami, "Swami, my parents were trying to teach me, but I could not get it, Swami. It was finally you who came in my dream, and Swami, you taught me. Swami, you are my mata, you are my pita, you are my mother, you are my father, you are my guru. You are my everything." This little moment where Bhagwan touched the heart of that boy has gone such a long way in his life. You know that any time Bhagwan is there with you, he can come in any manner. He can come at the 11th hour and make it happen. And when these things get established right in your childhood, it makes so much of fantastic difference in the way you approach life. Sucharita aunty talks about her husband, R. Chandrasekharan, who came to Bhagwan's fold in 1960. Chandrasekharan says that his first face-to-face interaction with Swami happened in September 1960, just after their marriage. It was as though the time was set and Bhagwan was waiting for that moment. And when Bhagwan called them inside, the minute Chandrasekharan was before Bhagwan, and when he prostrated at Swami's feet, somehow tears of ecstasy just came out of his eyes, and Swami in all mercy lifted him up and smeared vibhuti on his forehead and spoke to him very endearingly. In 1962, Swami told him to join Karnataka government service. He was not very interested, but Swami said, no, you join here. Swami said, I will look after you. I will be by your side. Come what may, I will always take care of you. And Swami told, stick to this steadfastly. So, Mr. Chandrasekharan joined the government service in Karnataka. It was very difficult. There were some challenging circumstances, but every moment Bhagwan was there with him. In 1966, there was a sudden transfer to Gulbarga in North Karnataka, and Chandrasekharan was confused. At that time, he remembered Bhagwan's assurance. In fact, Swami repeated his assurance. Swami said, "When I am your Hridayavasi, when I am the one who is there in your heart, why are you having any apprehensions? Go and join. Puttaparthi is midway between Bengaluru and Gulbarga. So whenever you travel either way, come to Swami for spiritual recharge." Swami says, we all recharge our phones, but Swami is saying, come to Puttaparthi for your spiritual recharge. So this was a direct message from Bhagwan to Chandrasekhar. I am in your heart. Don't have any apprehensions. Go and join and come to Puttaparthi for your spiritual recharge. And in fact, Swami did not stop there. Swami said, yesterday you had a heated argument over a photo that you wanted to keep with you. Your wife, Sucharita, felt that I appear in that photo like a Harikatha Dasa, like a person narrating divine stories, because I was in that Abhayasta pose. But don't worry, I will give you that photo. You keep it with you. And don't have any fear, don't have any apprehension. So Swami is narrating to them what had happened in their home the previous day. And Swami is telling, you had this argument over a photograph, but don't worry, you keep this photograph even if your wife does not like this. And Swami went on, and the next moment he materialized a visiting card, and it had the same Abhayasta photo, and Swami gave it to him. For 3 years, Mr. Chandrasekhar was in Gulbarga, and it was a very comfortable, enjoyable, very, very fruitful stay for him. And that photograph of Swami is his life's most treasured item, because Swami said, keep it with you. I am there with you in your heart. And in that photograph, Swami actually raised his hand in blessing. In 1981, a few months prior to the inauguration of the administrative block of Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning at Puttaparthi, he was in the darshan line. That was when the first convocation also was held, and he was in the darshan line, and Swami came to him straight, and Swami blessed him, and Swami said, you can take up this gardening work of university buildings and university colleges. So Mr. Chandrasekhar was very happy, and he started this whole work of putting this green cover around the administrative block. As if to make the follow-up work easy, during that time, he was transferred to Chikbalapur, which is now midway between Bengaluru and Puttaparthi. So till 1987, he made so many frequent visits to Puttaparthi, and he ensured that this work that Bhagwan has given to create greenery goes on effectively and to Bhagwan's satisfaction. On the inaugural day and the convocation day, as those days approached, Bhagwan was there looking after every event, and Chandrasekharan was arranging ornamental pots near the administrative block. And at 2 a.m., Bhagwan sent a personal invitation to Mr. Chandrasekhar through a volunteer with the message that he should be there for the occasion. Chandrasekhar should be there for the convocation ceremony, the first convocation ceremony. And it was 2 a.m. by the time he had come down from Vidyagiri, and he didn't know where to join. The convocation was ready to start the next morning, and he was standing somewhere among all the onlookers there. But suddenly again one more volunteer almost appears from nowhere and says, come, there is a vacant chair for you in the front. And the moment he goes there, Swami is looking at him very graciously, very beautiful smile, and again Swami has raised his hand in blessing, and Swami is asking him to sit in that chair. Chandrasekharan did not know how to react except through spontaneous outpouring of tears of gratitude and bliss. the most interesting thing is, a few weeks prior to all this, when they were at Puttaparthi on a family visit, so Mr. Chandrasekharan, along with Dr. Ramchandran, who is his co-brother, and children, they had once climbed up the hillock behind the mandir. The construction of the administrative block was going on then, it had just started. And standing on top of that hillock and enjoying the beauty and serenity of that entire area, he just casually remarked, "Wow, it's so beautiful. If only Swami gives me the chance to do gardening here, it would be so nice. I'd be so happy to see that the whole place is filled with serenity and greenery." So it was just a casual comment made to his co-brother, and the children were there. In fact, nobody heard except Dr. Ramchandran, his brother, and they just laughed with that wishful idea and thinking. The children didn't even hear what the elders conversed. But it was so amazing when a few weeks later, Swami calls Chandrasekharan and says, "Can you do the gardening of this place? For Bhagwan, he does not need our intelligence. He does not need our expertise. He just needs our availability. He needs our interest. He needs our deep yearning to be part of his work, to be useful to his mission." And it's so interestingly, just a few days later, Swami calls him and Swami says that, "Why don't you create a garden around the administrative block? Not only there, you please create a garden in the colleges and in the schools also." And as if these were not enough, Swami called him for an interview along with his wife Sucharita. And Swami blessed with vibhuti and a gold ring and a necklace. This happened many years later in 2003 when they were sitting for darshan during Bhagwan's 70th birthday. Swami never forgets, Swami never misses. Swami called them and blessed them profusely. If we have that yearning for the Lord knows how to fulfill that, provided our desire is pure, our desire is to just be an instrument in His hands. So many such awesome moments devotees of earlier era have experienced. And when you look at it, entire Prashanti Nilayam, everything of Bhagwan is built like that. It was always some devotee's prayer which Bhagwan acceded to. You never had the best of talent in a particular discipline run the institutions in Prashanti Nilayam, but you had people who loved Swami, people whose purity moved Swami, whose dedication touched Swami. For Swami, if your heart is pure, that is enough. Everything else, He will confer it to us. Many beautiful experiences of this nature Sucharita Aunty has written in her book, Sri Satya Sai Madhura Smriti. There's another wonderful experience of her second cousin, Srini. Srini's grandmother and Sucharita Aunty's grandfather, Seshagiri Rao, were siblings. And Srini says that what he has seen of Swami is an elaboration of Bhagwan's dictum, "My life is my message." He says, "For me, what is most moving when I think about those days is how Bhagwan had such a simple life. His personal room was less than 10 feet by 10 feet, just one square. And it had just one cot, one wooden cot, which Swami used for sitting as well as his bed in the night. And on both sides of the cot, there were two square tables. That's all was his room. There was one ceiling fan That is the only comfort that Swami had. Apart from this, there was nothing in his room, no other paraphernalia. It was in this room that he spent a lot of time talking to people, mending hearts, solving their problems, curing them of various sicknesses, guiding them, inspiring them to walk on the pathway to God realization. When people came out of his room, they were all the time touched and transformed. Some it happened immediately, for some it took a little while. But in every heart, the seeds of devotion, love and self-realization was sowed. And once he sows the seeds, after that Bhagwan waits patiently for the seed to sprout so that it becomes that big banyan tree with lovely shade and solace. Swami's dining room, which was situated on the southeast side of the mandir, was also of the same size. There was just one wooden dining table with a chair. A medium-sized refrigerator came in 1968, and in that Bhagwan used to keep fruits which would be only for distribution to the devotees. There was one almira where Bhagwan's robes were kept, and that almira also had saris and dhotis meant for distribution by Bhagwan. That is all his luggage was. So for Srini, what is most moving is how Bhagwan, even though everything was within his command, he lived such a life to teach us never complain. Less is actually more. And Swami used to give this chance to devotees to do Pada Puja. And so many devotees used to have this chance. And Srini says that when you think about it, it is not convenient for Bhagwan to sit on the chair and people go on worshipping that feet, and Swami used to give the chance to hundreds of devotees. Then it was actually so inconvenient for Bhagwan to go through that rigmarole. Because people will keep pouring turmeric, rose water and everything onto his feet. But they derived so much of satisfaction. But Swami went and gave so much of himself, his time, just so that the devotees feel blessed, so that they feel purified. In fact, humanly it is not possible, he says, to go through the kind of daily ordeal that Bhagwan used to go through in those times. All that time giving himself to the devotees. Every second was utilized only for the upliftment of the devotees. And he never missed a chance to emphasize on morality, on character, on habits. Especially if there were youngsters, then Swami would all the time, even though he filled them with love, but he would also be a hard taskmaster, never compromising on discipline. In fact, there was one instance when he had been to Delhi, Srini, to take part in a sports activity for a few days, and after his return to Puttaparthi, Swami said, everything that he had been through in Delhi, right from the time he boarded the train to every person he spoke to, everything that he attended there, and that was such a huge revelation for him. And Swami said, I am not this 5'3" physical frame. Every time Bhagwan mentioned to him, know that I am not limited to this body. And that made such an indelible impact on Srini. In fact, in a letter, Bhagwan wrote, I am watching and I am constantly there wherever you are. It was during August 1968 that Swami was at Hyderabad, and Srini was very fortunate to get personal interview with Bhagwan. In that interview, Swami told him to come to Puttaparthi. So he, his mother, sister, they all came to Puttaparthi. Very first morning, Swami called them for an interview. And during the interview, Swami expressed his wish to perform his Upanayanam. And they were so surprised that Swami on his own was saying that he would perform the Upanayanam. And they were thrilled. And the very next day, Bhagwan fixed for the Upanayanam ceremony. And that night, Swami sent word. And Swami, for the first time, Swami, he climbed that staircase, you know, that interview room staircase to go to Swami's personal room. And Swami called and Swami gave the little boy the chance to do Padseva, to touch Bhagwan's feet. And next day, at the time fixed by Swami, his Upanayanam was performed. Pandit Kamavadhani Garu, a very, very renowned Vedic scholar who used to stay with Bhagwan, in those days, he recited the Sanskrit mantrams and Swami materialized the sacred thread, and at the opportune moment, he himself put it over Sini and Swami recited the great Gayatri mantra in his ears, and Swami explained the meaning of the Gayatri mantra as he recited it in his ears. First time you have come to Bhagwan and Swami on his own saying that I will perform your Upanayanam, and he does it in just 1 or 2 days. Only 3 of the family were there. And Swami then said, see, if your thread ceremony had been performed outside in the hall, then so many people would have given you many gifts, but I did it here privately, so you didn't receive many presents. But don't worry. And immediately Swami materialized a wristwatch and he tied it on to the hand of the little boy. He wants to ensure that once you choose God, you don't lose anything in life. And the same evening again, Swami called him, blessed him with his photo, with his vibhuti. And along with that, there was a white slip of paper. When you opened that slip of paper, in that was the script of Gayatri Mantram. Swami had written it and given it to him in a piece of paper so that he does not forget it. Imagine the extent to which Swami is going to ensure that you conform to these beautiful practices, because it is for our own good, it is for our own spiritual development. In fact, when they left that day, during that trip, the way Swami took care of every little detail, Swami was inquiring about which bus they will go, and then Swami ensured that there were few seats vacant in the front of that bus to Dharmavaram so that they travel comfortably. After Upanayanam, Swami said, you come again for Dasara, which was a month away. So once he was back at Hyderabad, Shini, he got into the routine. But the first 3 nights after he returned to Hyderabad, Swami continuously came in his dream and he was continuously blessing. And after 30 days, he came back to Prashantanilayam Puttaparthi. And once he was in Swami's room, Swami immediately said, I came in your dream 3 continuous days. So that is how Shini says that, you know, till the age of 16, the compartment of my life was attached to a train that was taking me in wayward direction. I didn't know where I was going. I was aimless and meaningless. I didn't know what is my true destination. But Swami, out of his immense love and compassion, delinked the compartment of my life from that train and attached it to the Sai train, to the train of the love of Sai, to the bliss of Sai. And now I know what is my ultimate destination. This is how Swami constantly was guiding every devotee who came. Imagine the number of devotees he has touched. And every devotee who came to Bhagwan in those days has a story to narrate. And each one is a story where Swami has put them onto the path of self-realization, onto the path of prashanti. Swami was always very particular about the character of youngsters. Swami used to always say that your looks should always be focused on good things. You should be cautious. When you walk, look down. Do not keep looking here and there. Do not laugh like a demon. Don't laugh uncontrollably smile and let it be a dignified smile and laughter. If you have to laugh, there should be so much of presentability about what you do, and very careful about where your eyes fall. In fact, during one occasion, Swami told Sini that, you know, you are looking here and there, and Sini was trying to defend himself and says, "No, Swami, I control my look, Swami. I was not looking here and there." And immediately, Swami picked up a photo from a bunch of photographs, apparently some devotee had given him, and Swami gave one to him and says, "See where you are looking in this photograph." Swami just threw that photo at him and said, "See for yourself." And in that photograph, he was actually looking somewhere with his head raised. He definitely was looking in some other direction. And here Swami was telling, "I am all the time watching. I am all the time watching." And this, once it gets established in one's mind, the way it changes you is remarkable. And that's why Sini says words fail to express the depth of Swami's love, understanding and kindness. During one birthday celebrations that year, Purnachandra Hall was packed to capacity with devotees, and Swami was giving darshan between the lines, and he was very behind, standing behind. And Swami wanted to distribute Laddu Prasadam, and Swami wanted that to be brought, and so immediately he was beckoned, so he went in and he brought this big silver container of 300 laddus, and now he was walking behind Swami carrying this container. And after 3-4 lines of distribution, as he was walking, he felt the weight of that container was quite a bit, and he was unable to bear that strain. And now he was wondering, "Oh my God, how am I going to sustain this, because Swami is going to distribute to so many people till the end of the auditorium, and I don't think I'll be in a position to hold this. I might just lose it." And he was just praying to Swami, and immediately Swami just looked in that direction, and Swami gave a stern look as if telling him that, "Oh, you are slow, you are slow." And then immediately Swami looked at some elders and said, "You take it from this boy." And immediately he handed over the container to that elder, and he felt so relieved. Here was Bhagwan, who was understanding, who was so aware of what was going in his heart. Just at that nick of that moment when he thought, "Swami, I cannot carry it," Swami looked at another elder and said, "Take it over." So there are so many little lessons like this people have experienced who have had the chance to live with Swami in those days. He says during 1968, Swami by his own example showed how a guest has to be treated. So one fine day, Sri Kasturiji brought a message that a minister of Andhra Pradesh and his entourage are coming for Bhagwan's darshan. And Swami instructed Professor Kasturi to bring them to his interview room. And Sini was with Bhagwan in the interview room. And before the guests came, Swami asked Sini to bring the glass jug and tumblers from the shelf. Then Swami himself brought one orange squash bottle from another shelf. And both of them, Swami and this boy, sat on the ground. And Swami asked this boy to start preparing the orange juice for the guests. And when the juice was ready, Swami himself stirred. He put a spoon of it into this boy's mouth, and Swami asked, "Is it good? Is it tasty?" And then he made the boy pour that juice into tumblers, and how it has to be poured, to what extent it has to be poured. And then when the guests came, Swami asked him to serve. The little detail that Swami went into about how, when you have a guest, how you should go into every minute detail in ensuring that the guest is comfortable. So all these devotees have experienced every facet of Bhagwan that we all the time sing in our bhajans, Mata, Pita, Guru, Daivam, everything that Swami always asked us to do. When you live with Swami, you saw Him doing that. And every time you think about this, you are only filled with tears of gratitude and tears of absolute bliss, thinking how much He has taught us, how much He has touched us, and how His love even now continues to soak us. Let me narrate to you another beautiful story from those times. Sucharita auntie's one cousin is Sudha Radhakrishna. They were also very blessed from those times. But Srimati Sudha narrates how they felt Swami's grace and presence as late as 2000, apart from those beautiful moments with Swami in the 40s and 50s, she says after her husband retired as an engineer in Bhilai steel plant, they settled down in Bangalore. It was 1999. In 2000, suddenly her husband complained of rheumatoid arthritis and he also had a heart problem. He was being treated by a homeopath. And one day he started complaining of acute pain and he could not even have a wink of sleep. So everybody in the family became anxious and Srimati Sudha, she didn't know what to do. She started praying to Swami and as she was praying and praying and yearning from him, she didn't know when she had slept off. Swami comes in her dream and Swami says, Ni ayani, nenu chuskuntanu. I will look after your husband. And Swami gives vibhuti in the dream. So immediately she wakes up and she applies vibhuti on her ailing husband's body as Bhagwan had directed in the dream. And the moment she applied the vibhuti, her husband stopped groaning and there was some peace and the husband slept peacefully. Next morning, when he got up, there was no pain and he said he had very good sleep, and that is when Srimati Sudha told her husband what had happened in the night. So these are moments just to show one Swami tells you, I'm with you, in you, around you. He's all the time there. In 2006-2007, husband again started complaining of chest pain. And generally, Srimati Sudha used to go for morning walk and visit a temple on her way back. But on November 17th, 2007, for some reason, she did not feel like going for the morning walk and visiting the temple. She just stayed at home. And when her husband asked, why didn't you go? She said, no, I will go later today. And her husband was normal. There was no sign of any pain externally. He was very happy. He spoke to his son, his daughter-in-law, grandchildren, and everyone was around him. And then suddenly, very peacefully, he merged with Bhagwan. And Sudhaji says, Bhagwan knows what is the best way for us to leave this world and become one with Him. Once you have that yearning for Him, once you feel that He is there with you all the time, He will be with you till the last moment and ensure that your mergence with Him is a beautiful finale. All these lives who had the chance to be with Bhagwan in those days were so seeped in His love that they cannot take any moment from their lives and remove Swami out of that time, because every second Bhagwan is there, because that is how Bhagwan has got embedded into their lives. And if we can do this, we will experience His grace, His presence, His power every moment of our lives. And there is so much to explore, so much to feel the bliss of Swami once we feel Him every moment and think of Him and thank Him. We'll continue these lovely anecdotes from this beautiful book, Sri Sathya Sai Madhura Smriti, in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Whenever we go through these stories, it definitely spurs us on the path, because only from the lives of devotees, from the lives of saints, from the lives of enlightened souls, we get that intensity. It helps us to walk on the path with greater zeal, greater determination. And I hope these little stories, these leelas, help us to walk on the path with more joy, more determination, and more happiness. Thank you so much. If you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We look forward to your comments on our WhatsApp number, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sayonara.